I always find it interesting that we spend so many weeks and months preparing for Pesach, but then by the morning after that first bagel, it feels like Pesach was so long ago. But this year, it could feel really hard, with Pesach ending on a Thursday, to just jump back into regular life and be prepared for the Parshas HaShavua. But Parshas Shmini makes it a little bit easier for us, because it's one of the few Parshios in Sefer Vayikra that has a narrative, a story. I'm referring to the story of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron and Cohen's great children, who were killed for some strange reason. Now, the Torah seems to be explicit why they were killed, but Chazal are all over the map with at least a dozen reasons for why they were killed. Averos ranging from breaking a type of foreign carbon, coming too close at Har Sinai, and even as a punishment for not getting married and not having children. But the explanation, the reason that always was most troubling to me, is one that doesn't even have anything to do with them. Rashi in Parshas Ekev says that as a result of Aaron's sin with the Egel Hazav, he was deserving of losing all four of his children. And Moshe's tefilos were successful in at least saving half of them, but in the end, Nadav and Avihu were killed as a punishment to Aaron for the Egel. So which one is it? Did they die because of something that they did wrong? Or were they just collateral damage for Aaron's mistake? And of course, the answer has to be that Hashem takes everything into account. They tell a story about a man who had recurring nightmares that he was going to die in a plane crash. Over and over again, he had these visions of him dying in a plane crash. He took him very seriously, and he understood he was destined, he was deserving, he did something wrong, and would ultimately would die in a plane crash. So whenever he had to travel, he found other, less convenient, ways to travel. He never took a flight. But one time, he had to go somewhere for a funeral, he had to go overseas, he had no other choice, he had to take a plane. So he decides the best he could do is to fly on the most crowded flight, the largest airplane that's leaving that day. He figures, Hashem may want to kill me, but there's no way he would take this many innocent people along with me. And so he boards the plane with confidence. But unfortunately, sure enough, shortly after takeoff, the plane goes down, and tragically, there are no survivors. The man comes to heaven, and he speaks to Hashem, and he says, look, I understand that you were angry at me, I did something wrong, you wanted to kill me, but how could you have taken all of those innocent lives with me? Hashem says, are you kidding? Do you know how long it took me to get all 400 of you on the same flight? Unlike a human judge, Hashem can take everything into account. A human judge may decide that someone is guilty of execution, and it doesn't matter that this man's wife or his children don't deserve to suffer as a result. A human judge only can deal with the person who's actually being judged in front of him. Unfortunately, there will always have to be some collateral damage. But with Hashem, there is no collateral damage. Everyone on the plane who goes down is fully considered, and not just them. Each of their families, their children, their friends, their neighbors, their communities, everyone. Hashem wouldn't do it unless every single possible butterfly effect is accounted for and everyone's suffering is properly measured. This is how we can explain a strange pasuk in Hazinu. Hatzur tamim palo. Hashem's actions are perfect. Ki chol derechav mishpat. All his ways are just. Kel amunah ve'ein avel. He is an honest God and he's not perverse. Tzadik v'yashar hu. He is righteous and fair. That's our great praise of Hashem. Thank you, God, for not being honest and grossly unethical. Are we impressed that Hashem doesn't take bribes and doesn't judge unfairly? Rav Yisrael Salanter explained, based on what we said before, that Hashem is fair in a much more sophisticated way, even than we can ever comprehend. Hashem is not just fair in terms of what this person deserves. He is fair taking into account every single result of this action. There is no injustice to anyone. Everyone on that plane is supposed to be there. None of their family's suffering is for nothing. Everyone is perfectly balanced, calculated, and fair. That's a praise we can only give to Hashem, not to a human judge. And now we can go back and understand Nadav and Avihu. Rav Yosef Salant was a darshan in Yerushalayim who passed away about 40 years ago, and his chidushim are recorded in the Sefer Ber Yosef. And he explains that we find so many reasons for the deaths of Nadav and Avihu because we have to take into account multiple people. Even if they themselves deserve to pass away because of an avera, why does their father deserve to suffer? The righteous Aaron, shouldn't his merit be enough? Why should his suffering come for no reason? And so Chazal explained, separately, Aaron on his own was guilty of losing his children. Okay, what about their kids? Why do their kids deserve to suffer? Meshech Chachma explains exactly. That's what Chazal mean when they say they died because they didn't have any kids. There were no kids to factor in. And when they have No wives, that's also another factor. They have no wives to consider. Everyone is accounted for. Everything is thought of by Hashem. But why did Moshe lose his nephews? Why did Elazar and Yisamar lose their brothers? Why did Klal Yisrael lose two great leaders? So that we don't know. But the truth is, in our story, we already have much more information than we usually do when tragedy happens. It's hard for us to really understand the ways of Hashem because we can't even fathom how many details are taken into account and who deserves what and who else is being affected and which ancestors have a merit. There's a billion pieces over here. It's no surprise then that we can't understand Tzadik Varala, Rasha Vitovo. Things aren't exactly as we expect. Of course not. We can't see the whole picture. We don't know how many billions of pieces are fitting together for this result. And as we say, after enduring a tragedy, Hatsur Tamim Paolo, Kichol Derachav Mishpat, Kela Munah Ve'in Avo, Tzadik V'Yasharhu, we affirm, we believe that Hashem is sophisticated enough and fair enough to make sure that everyone and everything is factored in. He doesn't ignore the pain of any person affected by a tragedy. It's all carefully measured. Hashem cares about every single person who is affected. This Yisod is enormous, and it can be used to explain many other aspects of Emunah and Hashkafa, but I just want to give one practical area where it comes into play, and that is by tefillah, specifically by davening for others. The age-old question is, how can we daven? How can we change Hashem's mind? If Hashem has already decided what's going to happen to someone, a certain tragedy, then why should my prayers, why should saying pretty please or doing tshuva make a difference? Rav Yosef Abo answers that when we daven, we're changing ourselves. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Ani acher ve'eni oso ha'ish. I'm not the same person anymore. I'm not that person about whom it was decreed that this should happen. I'm somebody else right now. Okay, so that's how we explain how davening for yourself works. But what about davening for other people? How can that work? A person may not even realize I'm davening for him. And my tefillos, me becoming a better person, should change his decree? How does that work? But based on this yisod, we can begin to understand Hashem will only carry out that gzera if every single person affected deserves to be affected. So if any person in that person's inner circle, they daven and become a better person, the crisis can be averted. The more people who daven, the greater the chance of averting the gzera, because the more people whose accounts are changing, the more people in this person's lives may not deserve to suffer as a result. We're currently in a time where we're in especially great need of effective tefillos, whether it's personal, for our families, or people we know, or just Klal Yisrael as a whole. We really got to daven. But if davening in general is not just lip service, then certainly davening for other people can't just be reading a list of strangers' names. We have to really invest ourselves, learn their stories, take an interest in what's going on in their lives. And by doing so, by davening and changing ourselves, Hashem has to factor in more people. The greater the social circle, the greater connections we make among Klal Yisrael, the more people every decision affects, and the more Hashem has to counter with every decision. As we saw from Nadav and Aviyu, there is no collateral damage. Hashem takes everything into account for every decision. And hopefully by taking an interest in other people and by joining with the Klal, Hashem should answer all our tefillos at this time when we need them so much.